Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, good morning. Why don't you have seats? If you're a guest, my name's Trey. I'm the pastor here. Quickly, let me say happy Mother's Day. And if you give me a moment. Hey, Mom. My mom watches online. Happy Mother's Day to you. I was blessed growing up. Had an amazing, still have, she's alive, still have an amazing mom. And I'm now blessed to partner with an amazing mom. Although, if I'm honest, partner is probably a little too generous to me. I'm not really sure it's a partnership as much as she just drags me into good parenting. In fact, I'm going to brag on my wife for a little bit. You guys mind if I brag on my wife for a second? Because it's Mother's Day. Thank you. Yes, these five people are cool with it. So I'll just talk to you then. No. Here's the cool thing about my wife, the amazing thing about my wife. So she's not only just, you know, she's a great mom. She loves our kids. She loves me. She's compassionate. She's understanding. She's got the credentials behind her. Some of you don't know this. My wife went to grad school, and she actually has her master's degree in early childhood education, which means she actually knows what makes these little boys tick. Like, you know, 13, 11, and 8 is where they are now, but she was such a great help to me as they were growing up because, like, she actually knew what was happening in their brain and what was causing them to do the things they were going to do. And I'm like, well, that's great. How do we fix it? And, but you know, she was just such a great help, and I watch her. She's a great mom, and she's just that perfect combination. And I bring it up because I think we've probably all, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a coach, we've all experienced what it's like to be led by someone who does it well. We know what it feels like to have a great teacher or a great coach or a great parent. So for just a moment, I just want you to think about maybe the best teacher you ever had. Maybe the best coach you ever had. And while you're thinking, I want to tell you about mine. I've had lots of great teachers, lots of great coaches in my life. But when I was a senior in high school, I took AP Calculus. And yeah, that's appropriate. That's the appropriate response. And I passed. I passed the AP test, and I never took math in college or after. And it is because of one lady whose name is Miss Carter. She was my calculus teacher in high school. And she was probably the best teacher I ever had. And it was because she was so smart and was such an expert at calculus, which I don't know how you can be an expert, but she was. And she could teach a concept, and if she could see your face and you were just like, like, if you didn't get it, she could reteach the concept a completely different way. She understood the subject so much, and she was so passionate about us, and she was such a good communicator that she had the ability to teach it this way, and if you didn't get it, she could come back and teach it this way, and then she could come back and teach it another way. Like, she genuinely cared, and again, because of her, I didn't take math in college. So that was fantastic. And I'm sure for many of you, you have the same experience. You remember what it was like to have that great coach or that great teacher who was the perfect combination of expert, but they also cared about you and they had compassion and they were good communicators. Maybe you've had a bad experience. Maybe you had like an expert, but they didn't really care to teach you. Like, I think about this all the time. Whenever I always talks about Michael Jordan maybe getting into coaching, I'm always like, that would be the worst idea in the world. And every time Jordan has tried to coach, it never goes well because, well, let me end the debate right now. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player who ever lived. He's the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. There's no number two. Don't email me about this. Like, it just is. But if you've ever noticed any, like when he was with the Washington for a while, trying to, you know, he kind of came back and tried to coach other people. I don't think Jordan's a really good coach because he's so good at it naturally that when he's trying to teach other people, he's just like, just do what I do. And they're like, you're Michael Jordan. If I could do what you do, I would be Michael Jordan. And maybe you had some of those people. Maybe you've had a teacher or a coach who's just like, this is the way we do it. And if you don't get it, they're just like, bye, sorry. You know, we've had good coaches, we've had bad coaches, good teachers and bad teachers. And hopefully you have had some time to think, and hopefully you've got a picture in your mind right now. A picture of that teacher, a picture of that coach, a picture of that person that was just that perfect blend of expertise and compassion and communication. Because the reason I wanted you to think about those things is because that picture sets us up perfectly for where we're going today. If you're a guest, if it's your very first time, we're in the middle of a series that we are calling Can You Hear It? We're right in the middle. We've already done 2 weeks. We've got more weeks coming. And so after today, if you would like to go back and maybe understand how we got here and get some of the content we've already done, I encourage you. You can just go to the App Store. You can download our app. This is the best way to stay in touch with our church. We put all our content up here. You can watch the entire series up there. It'll be up there for as long as apps exist. And I would really encourage you to do that, because we are talking about what may be the most important question we ask as people. It's definitely the most common question I get as a pastor, and the most common question we get at the church, and that's why we're trying to answer it. And the question is this: we've been asking, how do I hear God's voice? People ask me this all the time. You've probably thought it. We all have thought it. That's why we're doing a series about it. And the first thing we were trying to shift in this series is to convince us all to ask a better question. There's a better question to ask than how do I hear God's voice. The better question is, do I recognize God's voice? The reason this question is better is because this question makes the right assumption. This question assumes God is speaking. And God is definitely speaking. God has been speaking to you, and he wants to continue to speak to you for every day of your life. And again, if you want more information about that, more details about why we say that, I would encourage you after today, go back and watch weeks 1 and 2. Because last week, we really dove in and we tried to understand how this all works. I'm a big believer in this idea that the better we understand something, the likelier it is we'll use it. And so we've been talking about the mechanics of how we hear from God. How does God speak to us? How do we recognize his voice? And last week we talked about Jesus. We talk about Jesus every week at this church. And last week we talked specifically about Jesus' role in this story, this role of how we hear from God. We believe that God speaks to us through Jesus. We believe that Jesus created the heavens and the earth so we could hear him. And then last week we talked about how he actually came to earth for a couple of reasons. One, to reveal to us who God was, so that we could physically and tangibly experience him and understand it. And for the 33 years he was on the earth, he perfectly revealed to us God. But he also came to be a connection to us back to God. See, he had to come because we were disconnected from God because something we call sin. I sin, you sin, we all sin. There's just mistakes we make and things we do that God doesn't want us to do. They separate us from God. And last week we learned that Jesus came to fix that separation, to reconcile that. And he did that by laying down his life. He died on the cross. We believe he then came back to life. And what we talked about last week is he then went back into heaven, where he went into his Father's presence. We talked about it. He went into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus, because he was the perfect sacrifice once for all time, was able to go in and say, "Hey, Dad, the sins of the world have been forgiven. They've been paid. And now anyone who wants to come to you can come through me." Jesus was the connection. Jesus was the way through which we can have a relationship with God the Father. And that's where we left it last week. Like I said, we covered a lot of content. I'd encourage you to go back if you've missed it, because we've got to keep moving today. Because where I left you was, Jesus was a real person that we believe really died, and we believe really came back to life, and we believe really ascended into heaven, and is really standing in front of God the Father right now on our behalf. And he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to lead us. But listen again, he's a real person, and he's really in heaven, and we're really down here. How does that work? How do we actually have a relationship and a connection with someone who is in heaven and we are here? That is the answer I want to talk about today. And the answer is this: through a perfect teacher. Through a perfect coach. A gift that Jesus sent down to us when he took his place with his Father in heaven. And I know you're not sure what that means yet, but my prayer is that you will fully understand it by the time we're done today. Now, to help you understand why I would say this, I want to turn to Jesus. Specifically, I want to turn to the last night Jesus spent with his disciples. We looked at this a little bit last week. We're going to look at it again next week. Because it was in this night where Jesus kind of drops the bomb. He had been sort of letting them know, but he kind of says very clearly, "I'm about to leave." And they don't like it. They get scared. They get nervous. And they start asking him a bunch of questions. And he tries to give some answers. And in these answers, he communicates to them and through them to us. And he explains the mechanism by which we can have a relationship with the God of the universe through his Son, Jesus, by explaining this third piece, this coach, this gift that he has given to us. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to John 14. It's where we're going to be. If not, it's going to be up on the screen, John 14. And here's what Jesus tells his disciples. When they're like, whoa, you're leaving? And he's like, yeah, I got to go. I got to go back to heaven because I got to stand there and I've got to make it possible for you to have access to my Heavenly Father. I can't stay here. What? You're leaving? You're leaving? You're leaving? And he begins to try to explain why he's leaving and what's going to happen. And here's what he says. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. And again, you got to read this in light of what we know. We know Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die. He's about to come back to life on a Sunday. And then he's going to ascend back into heaven. He had a role to play. And that role was to be the connection through which we can have a relationship with God. But he has to be in heaven to do it. And so they don't know this yet, but what he's telling them is when that happens, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forget about you. When I go, I'm going to send you another. And he tells us who that is. He says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, the disciples have no idea what any of this means. All they've heard is, we're leaving. They were confused. If you hear this and you read this right now and you're like, I'm a little confused. I'm not really sure what that means. That's okay. Jesus understood they'd be confused. He understood you would be confused, which is why a few verses later, he makes this promise. And here's what he says. He says, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, when he sends him, not if, when he sends him, don't worry, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He said, hey guys, don't worry. There's more going on here than you're aware of. I've got to go play a role. But once I go play that role, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you everything. And now, the benefit for us is we have almost 2,000 years of history. We can go back and look, and here's what we know. That's exactly what happened. Exactly what Jesus predicted happened. He was handed over to the Roman government. He was crucified. He died. He rose from the dead. He equipped his followers. 40 days later, he says, I'm out of here. He ascends into heaven. He says, you guys go. And then in the book of Acts, we have recorded for us this moment called Pentecost, which was the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit did exactly what Jesus said it would do. It led his followers into all truth. The Holy Spirit explained to them, what do you mean he's got to go up here? What do you mean this has got to happen? What do you mean there's another coming? And what do you keep talking about, Father? What does all of this mean? The Holy Spirit made sense of all of that in about 20 or 30 years. 20 or 30 years after this moment, it had all made complete sense. And luckily for us, they decided to write it down. They were so kind. They wrote down 4 biographies of Jesus' life. They wrote down a history of the early church. And then they wrote down these training manuals. Men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were writing to other people just like me and just like you, wondering, how does this all work? How do we have a relationship with God? Wait, he's up, he's in there, he's in heaven, and we're supposed to have a personal relationship with him? I don't get this. Well, he spoke through these men, the Holy Spirit did, and they wrote it all down, and so we now know exactly how it all works. We don't have to be confused anymore. It makes perfect sense. And so what I would love to do today is very briefly explain to you what Jesus meant. And explain to you how this all works, to shed light for you that the disciples didn't gain for probably a decade to 2 decades. They were just head down trying to figure it out. And it took 20 to 30 years for them to fully and completely understand exactly what was going on. And we can figure it out in 21 minutes and 29 seconds. Because it's not that complicated. And it's incredibly clear. And I am convinced the better we understand how this works, the likelier it is that we will use it. And so what I would like to just take a few minutes talking about is the way we humans talk about and have conceptualized this eternal existence that Jesus was talking about. The best way we can come up with to put into human words the indescribable, the infinite mind and the infinite wonder and the infinite power and the infinite majesty of the God of the universe. You have to understand there's some limitations here because he's God and we're not. But he's giving us amazing clarity, and he's helped us be able to wrap our brains around how this all works. And the way it all comes together is something that the church has talked about basically from the very beginning. And it's something that has been a lot of confusion about. If you grew up in church, you might find it confusing, but I assure you today, there's no reason to be intimidated by this concept. There's no reason to be confused by this concept. It is so simple to understand, and it changes everything when we truly get how this all works. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a concept called the Trinity. And for those of you that grew up in church, you just went, uh-oh. Like, I get that, okay? But there is absolutely no reason for us to be confused by this idea, for us to be overwhelmed by this idea. It's the way we as humans can conceptualize an almighty God. Now, if you didn't grow up in church or you have no idea what the Trinity means, let me kind of define it for you briefly, and then we're going to walk through it, and then I'm going to explain to you why it matters for us in terms of trying to figure out how do we hear from God. Here's how we define the Trinity. It's basically three beliefs. We believe that God exists eternally as three persons, three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that each of these, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each person is fully God. So three people, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, each is fully God, and there's one God. Like I said, it's simple. Right? Piece of cake. But again, remember, this is us in humanity doing our best to wrap our brains around an infinite God. But the reason we believe in the Trinity and the reason we can talk about this is because Jesus talked about this with his disciples. He literally says, I am going to go back to my Father. He had called him Father the whole time. When I go back to the Father, we're going to send the Holy Spirit. And they're just like, wait, what's happening? But with the benefit of 2,000 years of understanding and prayer and reading the Bible and understanding who the Holy Spirit is, we can understand this idea that our God has chosen to exist as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each of which are fully God, each of which are fully powerful, fully all-knowing, fully all-loving, yet there is one God. Because each of them are so intertwined and so unified in purpose and so unified in value and so unified in love and so unified in mission that the three make up one. Now, the best way to really understand, explain this is for me to talk about what separates them. And the thing that really separates the three members of the Trinity is their function. They are equally God. They are equally powerful. They are equally loving. But they are different in function. For example, let's start with God the Father. Now, God the Father is what most people think of when they think of God. If in your brain God is an old white dude in a robe with a beard, you're probably thinking about God the Father, but he's not in a robe and a beard, right? That's just something somebody drew one time. But most people, when they think of God, they actually think of God the Father. For a big portion of what we call the Bible, which is the collection of God's movement in the Old Testament and the New Testament, all he's called is God. It wasn't until Jesus comes on the scene and starts calling him Father that people are like, wait, what? Did you just say he was your father? So, God is the Father? And the reason Jesus calls him Father was he was revealing his function. God the Father is the leader. God the Father is in charge. If you were here last week, God the Father is who reigns in the Holy of Holies. God the Father is who sits on the throne. God the Father is who spoke and said, let there be light. God the Father is who sent his Son on a rescue mission. God the Father is who will be in charge forever. That is God the Father. He is the commander. He is the chief. He is the leader of the Trinity, of these three distinct people who all exist and are one God. He's God the Father. He sent God the Son. This is who we call Jesus. Now bear with me for a minute. We believe Jesus has existed forever. He is eternal. He is fully God. He is fully powerful. If you were here a couple weeks ago, we believe that he was the means of creation. He actually created the heavens and the earth. God the Father spoke it. God the Son did it. Because that's the role of God the Son, is to carry out the will of God the Father. We believe Jesus existed forever. And then he decided about 2,000 years ago, a little longer than 2,000 years ago, to give up some of his divinity, some of his divine rights, to give up his role in heaven, to leave all that behind, and to be born as a baby in order to rescue us. He chose to give up some divinity, to limit himself to the confines of an earthly body so that he could live the perfect sinless life for us, so that he could satisfy the anger and the wrath that his dad had against us because we had sinned against him, that had to be paid for. And so God the Son came on behalf of God the Father, revealed him to us, and then made the perfect sacrifice in our place. And then he went back to heaven to go into his Father's presence, where he could stand once for all time and say, it is now finished, it is complete, their sins have been forgiven. And when they believe in me, through faith in me, that they can have a relationship with you. So even though God the Father and God the Son are equal in power and equal in authority and equal in might, God the Son has chosen to submit and to subordinate to God the Father. He has chosen to let him be the leader. If you're familiar with the story of after this dinner, they go to a garden and Jesus prays and he asks his Father, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Don't make me do what I'm about to have to do. And then he says these words, not my will, but yours be done. See, he's revealing to us how it works. Even though they are equal and they are unified, God the Father is the leader, God the Son works for him, and God the Son is the connection to us. If the Father is the commander, Jesus is the connection. Commander, connection, and that brings us to the third, God the Holy Spirit. Father, commander, Son, connection, Holy Spirit, coach, teacher. That's what Jesus says. We're going to go back to what Jesus said. Look at this. That's why Jesus says he is the Holy Spirit who leads, what? Into all truth. He says, when I send you the Holy Spirit, he is going to teach you everything. He is going to make sense of all of it because that is his function. The Holy Spirit is uniquely able to communicate with every single person in the world at the same time. He knows our thoughts. He knows our emotions. He knows our fears. He knows our strengths. He knows our gifts. He knows what makes us tick. He knows us inside out. He's able to have a conversation with us. And he also is fully God. So he's fully loving. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples is, guys, you don't get it. I've got a job to do. I've got to go up here and I've got to finish this task. But when I do, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and it's going to be better because he's going to be able to communicate with you and teach you and coach you and change you from the inside out in ways I couldn't even do because I've limited myself to humanity. But the Holy Spirit is going to be able to do more. But Jesus makes clear they understand how to get the Holy Spirit. That's what he says next. When he says the world can't receive him, because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. This is why we keep talking about learning to recognize the voice of God. Because if we can't recognize it, if we can't seek it, if we can't put our faith in it, we can't have it. What he's basically saying is, you can't have the Holy Spirit unless you are connected to me. It's still all about Jesus. He is the connection. The Holy Spirit is the coach, but Jesus is the connection. That's what Jesus says next, talking to his disciples. He says, but you know him. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. You know him. Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, don't miss what he just said because this is life-changing. This is earth-shattering. This is fall to your knees and have your life changed forever because here's what Jesus just said. Jesus just said, guys, when I finish this task, when I go back to my Heavenly Father, and when I sit in front of him and when I pay the price once for all time for your sin and I open the veil and I give you direct access to him, I'm then going to send you someone who's going to facilitate that access, someone who's going to coach you. And you're thinking, send me someone. How am I going to recognize him? And Jesus says, you recognize him because you recognize me. Because the person I'm sending back to you is with me. And there's three of us, but we're one. And so I'm coming back to you. And that's exactly what happened. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell and these men of God and women of God began praying, you know what voice they recognized in their prayers? It was Jesus. And they were like, oh, I hear him. I understand him. And see, what Jesus was trying to reveal to them, what he's trying to reveal to us, don't miss this. He says this. He says, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. With you, but will be in you. With you, but will be in you. This is everything. And I have been trying for a month to figure out how to illustrate this point. And the tension with any illustration you want to give about the Trinity is any illustration you use verges on heresy very quick. And that's not who I want to be. But I'm going to get close today, so just go with me, okay? Because I am with you, but then I will be in you should change everything for all of us. And to help you understand what that means, how many of you have ever seen Star Wars? Star Wars, the original, you know, A New Hope, Star Wars Episode 4. We've seen Star Wars. Remember, if you remember Star Wars, Luke's the lead character. Luke's kind of the hero of it. And Luke has a teacher in Star Wars. And that teacher's name is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Luke goes to Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Obi-Wan Kenobi begins to train him in the ways of the Force and whatever. And he trains him. And he's training him because he's with him. Luke has to go find Obi-Wan Kenobi. He has to be with him so that he can help him. Well, at the end of the first movie, spoiler alert, Obi-Wan Kenobi disappears. He goes away. And he had been with Luke, and Luke is like, oh, no, now he's gone. A couple scenes later, Luke realizes what Obi-Wan Kenobi did is he stopped being with him so that he could be in him. And from that point forward, he can talk to Obi-Wan whenever he wants. And Obi-Wan can talk to him whenever he wants. He doesn't have to be physically with him. He's able to communicate with his thoughts. He's able to communicate with his mind. He has 24/7 access to Luke. And he coaches him, and he helps him, and he corrects him. I tell you that because I'm convinced George Lucas stole that from the Trinity. Because that is exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was saying, guys, you don't get it. It's so much better for you if I go. Because when I go, I'm going to open the door to heaven for all of us. And then I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send back this perfect coach who's not going to just be with you. He's going to live in you. He's saying, James, John, guys, I've had to talk to you a ton, right? Lots of times I have to take you aside and we have to sit things down. Peter, Andrew, same thing. I have to talk to you guys a lot. Have you guys never noticed I can't talk to you both at the same time? Because I'm a human. I can only be one place at one time. So sometimes I have to say, James and John, y'all just got to wait. I'll talk to Peter and Andrew first. And when I'm done with them, then I'll come get you. You guys all know that? And they're like, yeah, we understand it. He goes, guess what? When the Holy Spirit comes, that goes away. No more waiting in line for Jesus. No more worried because Jesus has taken a nap. No more, wait, where did he go again? Oh, he's eating. Oh, he's praying. Oh, he's doing something else. That's all gone. Through the Holy Spirit, I am not with you. I am in you. I know your thoughts. I know your emotions. I can communicate with you. I can change you from the inside out. When I tell you, hey, you shouldn't be selfish, I'm saying that as someone who is with you. But when the Holy Spirit comes and I'll be in you, I can do more than say don't be selfish. I can reach into your heart. I can take out the selfishness. I can replace it with my love. I can do that because I am in you. And gentlemen, that is better for you. It is better for you that I go. Because the one I'm sending back will be in you. He will be able to encourage you and understand you, and speak to you when you need it, and guide you when you're confused, and buck you up when things seem to just be going the wrong way. He can do those things. He can cheer you up. He can encourage you. He can help you. He can do all those things for you, and that is why I am sending him. It will be so much better. Doesn't that sound better? And isn't it freeing to know that that is exactly what our Heavenly Father planned for us all along? And that he loved us so much that he sent his Son to be the connection. But to be the connection, he had to be in the presence of God. But he knew we needed God, not just with us. We needed God in us. We needed the power of a God who could change us from the inside out. And he said, I got that too. The third member of my group, the Holy Spirit. He will come, and he will speak, and he will lead you into all truth. Now, how does he do that? That's where we will pick up next week. Next week, I am going to finally answer the question you've been wanting to know for a month. What does God sound like? I'm going to tell you. Because the Holy Spirit clearly reveals it to us. And when it comes to what the Holy Spirit has to say, I just need you to know, He's got more to say than you can possibly hear. That's what Jesus says a couple chapters later. Because they're still asking questions. And he says, hey, guys, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. You're not ready for it yet. You can't handle it yet. And I would say the same thing for us today. This was a lot to absorb. This was a lot to take in, the Trinity. And so rather than moving on, the goal of today is just to simply stop here and say, okay, now you have a better picture of how it works. A better picture of knowing you have a Heavenly Father who sent His Son to be our connection and sent His Holy Spirit to be our coach, to lead us into all truth. And as we think about that, we can rest in the promise. Jesus makes it again in the next verse. When the Spirit of truth comes, not if, when, He says He will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. You have questions about a decision at work, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you into all truth. You're not sure if you should do this or that, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you into all truth. And hey, He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. Not who's going to win the Super Bowl next year, but He will tell you about the future. I say this all the time. Who wouldn't listen to a God so loving, He would give His Son, a God so powerful, He could raise the dead, and a God who, what, knows the future? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He knows what we don't. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen next month. And the reason Jesus is telling us that is because He's always wanting to prepare us for what's next. And so that means He might be leading us somewhere today that doesn't make sense to us today, and that's because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. But He does. What a great God we serve. That not only does He know the future, He has created a means by which He can prepare us for the future. And He can protect us from the future. And He can maneuver us around landmines. And He can position us for pathways that He sees that we may not. And it's all done under the supervision and love of our Father. And through the words of His Son. That's what Jesus says next. He says, He, the Holy Spirit, will bring me glory, that's Jesus, by telling you whatever He receives from me. See, to the first disciples, this was music to their ears because He was promising them, this isn't a new thing. You're going to keep hearing what I've said to you. And for all of us in the room today, the reason we keep talking about Jesus, the reason Jesus is the connection for everything, is because He is the one that God the Father chose to be our interactor. He is the connector. And our connector now resides in heaven, standing in front of the Father on our behalf. And the way we speak to Him, the way we hear from Him, the way we are changed by Him is through the Holy Spirit. This perfect coach, the perfect teacher. And like I said, next week we're going to talk about all the things He says. But for today, just be comforted in the knowledge of how this works. Be secured that your hope and your faith is not in vain. It all makes sense. God the Father wanted a relationship with us, and we broke it with our actions. So He sent God the Son to reconnect us, who is now in heaven, advocating for us all the time. And so He sent us another advocate. He sent us another helper. He sent us another teacher, His Holy Spirit. And through Him, we have 24/7, 365 access to the God of the universe. And better than that, He has access to us. He has access to our heart and to our emotions and to our fears and to our doubts, and He can minister to us without us even knowing. He can prepare us things we don't know. We don't know what's coming tomorrow, but He does. So this week, as you continue to search for God, as you continue to say, do I recognize His voice? Rest in the fact that you are so loved and you are so special that not only did He send a connection, the purpose of the connection was to open you up to His coaching, was to open you up to His leading, was to open you up to His teaching, was to open you up to His molding and shifting and changing. Because He knows the future. And He wants to prepare you for the absolute best version of it possible. How does He do that? That's where we'll pick up next week. For today, rest. Rest in the fact that you are loved, that your God wants to communicate with you, and that He's made it possible. that the amazing coach of the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life and to guide you every single day. And if you want a practical takeaway, a practical step, it's this. What can you do this week to either respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit or to position yourself to be better led by Him? Think about that this week. And then come back next week as we all discover more of how it all works. Because again, the more we understand how something works, the likelier it is that we'll use it. Let's pray. God, we just love you so much. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his Spirit. And we thank you for your clarity. You want to be heard. You want to be known. So you sent your Son to establish a connection. And then you graciously sent us a coach who wants to walk us through life. We thank you for that. God, I pray that as our minds are opened and as our knowledge grows, so will our faith. That we will know we have a sound faith, that we are on strong footing, that your words return true and they are life-changing. We cannot wait to see what you're going to do in us, to us, and through us as we better understand how you speak to us. We love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.